T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Robin Holly Show podcast.
You got me. I'm here. Yep. Hey, hey. Hey, guys.
Hey, Eric.
That was fun.
Hey, buddy.
It's hey, we're just, a great time.
Just when we figured out how to do Zoom, we're throwing another wrench at you here to figure out clean feed.
Yeah, I still shudder when people say Zoom. I just get a chill.
Are you so over it?
I'm done. I've been done for a while. I gave up on it. I can't do it anymore. Just can't do it.
Can I say something that I found completely fascinating about your tour? We went up. Obviously, the music is fantastic, and we'll talk about that in a second. Rob and I had the best time, but I am fascinated by the fact that you have what I think would be a great band name, a great song title, COVID Dogs.
Yeah.
COVID Dogs. Can you tell, can we know about the COVID Dogs? This is so cool.
The COVID Dogs, actually, on the tour, we had these dogs that they came out to sniff people to see if they had COVID backstage, and they're German Shepherds. They're out of Alabama, and throughout this tour, we were trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this? You know, how do you do a tour? We started in September, and how do you keep the tour going? You know, as far as the way testing goes and all this stuff. So we found these dogs, and they're a legitimate dog. They're actual dogs, and they are 95% effective at smelling COVID. And
that's crazy.
It's crazy, and we had them retrained for the Omicron variant. When that happened, they had to be retrained because some stuff was getting by. And it was just a wild kind of, you know, we have, and they're, you know, it's great. They're always sniffing you, and, you know, it's not always great in a band situation. People get nervous. But in this situation, it was just an integral part of the tour. And such a wild, you know, like everything else we've been through, is just a totally unique experience to think that, you know, you would have to have, you know, that type of thing going on backstage to, you know, keep people safe. But it's been great. They've been with us whole tour, and it's been fun.
Well, I appreciate your tenacity to keep this thing going, because when it was first announced, it was like, all right, we're getting back out there. And then we kind of went back into this shutdown thing again. So I just appreciate the fact that you're like, we're going to keep this going, and we're going to gather again no matter what. And we did it, and it was epic so far, and it's still going on.
It is. We're getting close to the end now, but it's crazy to look back, and we started in September, and it's nuts to think about all the different ways things changed. You know, the goalposts kind of kept moving on us. You know, everything was good, and then it wasn't, and good, and then it wasn't. So we've been through a couple variants on this tour that changed things in different cities. You know, you go to different municipalities, and, you know, there's mask mandates in one, and there's restrictions in another. And then, you know, you don't know, you know, until you go into these places, kind of what you're dealing with. And it's been the most challenging tour by far that we've ever done. But at the same time, it just felt like it needed to happen. And it felt good, especially now, you know, to look back and go, we did it. You know, we were able to go through and play those places, and things started to come back to normal. And we felt good that we were playing a part of that, you know, that we were.
You feel like you thrive in that environment, though, because that was the whole point of Heart and Soul, right? Yeah. It was kind of throw a wrench in things and make things difficult and challenging.
I love stuff like that. I mean, I'm one of those guys. That's why I play 3-hour shows and, you know, beat myself up and do stuff like that. I'm one of those kind of guys, but, make it hard, you know. But I think that in this instance, you know, it was gratifying to look back and know that we kept going.
Heck yeah.
So one of the things at the show that I was like, oh my God, so good, is the woman that you have with you on tour, Joanna.
Cotton. Yep.
Oh my Lord. Can you tell me how you guys meet, how you get together, like how you find her?
She was somebody that been in town a long time, kind of came to town the same time I did. She had a record deal for a while on Warner Brothers, and you know, like a lot of other stuff, it just didn't happen. You know, there was a number of political things and stuff that went on there, so she kind of fell out of the industry. And she's Juilliard trained. I mean, she can do everything from arias there. She's an amazing singer. So she was doing other stuff, and I always was a big fan, you know, of how just how talented and how well she could sing, and also her attitude. She attacks a song and sings it with all of her heart. And it just, as we were coming into, I think it was the Chief record for the first time, there was a couple opportunities for some backup stuff, backup singer, and she sang on that. And then as our career moved forward, she sang a little bit more on Outsiders, and then a little bit more, you know, as we went through Mr. Misunderstood. And finally, around that time, you know, she had been on enough stuff. And my producer said, you know, it's really interesting in the studio. You both sing better when you sing at each other. You know, when we put one mic in there and, you know, you're each trying to go at, it's almost sparring. And he said, you should think about, you know, doing that. It's fun for us to watch. It would be fun for the fans. So I asked her if she wanted to go on tour. And we've been doing that now for, I guess, 7, 6, 8 years, something like that. So we've it's become a main part of the show. You know, she's got her own T-shirts and got people out there that want to see her more than me. So it's fun to watch that happen and be a part of it.
It's very electric, is I think.
It's a good issue. She is. Yeah.
In Heart on Fire was like, I think, was that the first song that you wrote when you went on this crazy journey of doing these three albums in 30 days or whatever it was?
That's correct. And that's why this one's really important, you know, because if this had went badly, I mean, everybody was looking at me pretty skeptically when I said the idea, we're going to write a song the same day we record it, and we're going to start over the next day and do it again, and we're going to do it every day. I mean, there was a lot of people going, okay, you know, this is probably not going to happen. So this one was, if this one had been bad, if this one had not worked out correctly, it would have made my life a lot harder, because I was kind of pulling people to this. I don't think they were converted at first. You know, I owe a lot to this song. I owe the whole project to this song. So it's been the one that unlocked everything else, you know, all three albums. And because I wrote it 100% by myself as well. This was the first single I've ever had that I wrote 100% by myself. So makes it unique, too, you know, from an autobiographical standpoint.
Right.
Is it of a different sense of pride in writing something just where it's just you? Is it a different feeling?
If it's good. Yeah, I mean, you would feel differently if you wrote it by yourself and it's bloody good, you know. I guess, you know, you go, wow, I should write with people more. But no, it's seriously, it's one of those things that I came to town to be a songwriter. I've had songs recorded by other people. I've had number ones with other people, other artists cutting my songs, and that's what I take the most pride in. That's at the heart of everything. That's what I am. I'm a songwriter, storyteller, and to do that, you know, by yourself and have it on the radio and have it to be a hit is very gratifying.
What did some of your peers, like some of your fellow country artist friends, think when you told them that you were going to do this project this way? Because we thought it was so crazy when we first heard about it, and we actually mentioned it to a few other artists, and because I thought, would anyone else attempt something like this? And when we asked, we kind of got like, "Hey, I'm not here to talk about Eric Church." And so I was wondering how your friends felt.
That's a no.
They're
by
a
the
little
way.
Intimidated. Yes.
Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, I've always believed that there's a genesis of when a song is born, and it's that thing when you're in a writing room or you're in a studio, and there's that spark, right? And it's, and normally the way it works in Nashville is you get together and you write a song, and then that's where the magic is. It's in the room when you know it's a great song, like you know you've really got something. And then you take that demo, work tape, you know, you and a guitar or whatever, and then you hang on to it for, you know, 4 or 6 months while you gather the rest of your songs. And then you play it again, and then people decide what the songs are. You go to your producer, you go in the studio. So the whole process takes time. And I've always thought it would be really interesting to capture whatever happens when you, that thing you feel, that goosebump chicken skin thing, when you're playing and go, man, this is great. And then take that moment and go record right there, right then. Yeah. And see what happens, you know, see where it goes. And so that was the idea for this, you know, to try to do that. But it worked. You know, it's one of those things. We had a few songs that didn't work. I mean, there were days that it just didn't happen. You know, I had a call with my producer, Jay Joyce. We were all in the mountains of North Carolina. We all lived together. And I would go off and write with some writers or by myself. And about 5 or 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, he would call and go, hey, do we have a song today? And what does it sound like? And then I would come down and bring my guitar and I'd play it, you know, for the band. And then we'd just start doing it, you know. And it was the most interesting part is it was just me and a guitar. So if your guitar player, whoever, would go, well, hey, how do you think this goes here? And I would go, I don't know. How do you think it goes here? And you're all creating at that point in time. You're all following your heart, not your head. And that's what music is. That's what creativity is. And it was the most fun I've had on a project. It was the most challenging, for sure, totally. But it was the most fun I've ever had creating anything.
Do you think you'll do this again? Are you thinking about going a different musical challenge?
Yeah, I'm not doing this again. I would go a different route. And it's got to be something else, though, right? I mean, I got to figure out. There's got to be another way. You got to find that. That's kind of what I'm saying is you can't just, I'm just not the guy that can go, hey, let's just go record songs. It doesn't work for me. I have to find something different. Either I have to go somewhere, come up with something that makes it unique and different. And the biggest part is making the people that play with you and around you, writers, it's good to make them uncomfortable. And the more uncomfortable they are to what their normal settings are, the more creative they are. And you would think that's the opposite, but it's not with creative people. Now, the more that they're kind of on instinct and they're not just in their, you know, in their area that they like to stay in, the more you can get them out of that, the more boundaries you'll get across. And I think that with the band and producer and songwriters, I'm always looking for what that is. How do I make them uncomfortable?
I think I have an idea.
What's that?
Skydiving while writing songs.
That would work.
Throw everybody out of a plane.
talk about some pressure. Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of an experience, and man, I think it turned out great. Speaking of uncomfortable, though, were you you had to been bumming out that your Tar Heels didn't win in the Final Four?
Oh, we kind of did. We beat Duke. I mean, that's the thing. The big thing was the Duke game, you know, for me. I mean, that was the one that I didn't really – I mean, I hate to say this. I did care. But to me, the championship was against Duke, you know, because of the rivalry and because of what that is, because they've never met in the tournament, much less the Final Four and Coach K's final game. I mean, all those things were a perfect storm that I never could have conceptualized would have happened. It hadn't happened in my life, and it hadn't happened in my dad's life. So it was just one of those really unique once in a lifetime things, you know, and to win that. And I know it was a kind of a wild week or two maybe for me, but it was just something that I had to be there. I had to take my boys. I have boys that are 10 and 7, and my dad's still alive. He's 70. I had to be at that game. There was no way that I wouldn't be in there. So very, very glad we went.
Well, I think, you know, you make a lot of sacrifices as an artist and putting, you know, everything into your life and your career and being gone for family events and this and that. So I do think that, you know, you can take a mulligan every once in a while and reschedule the show.
Mm-hmm. I can recreate San Antonio. I can't recreate Duke and Carolina the Final Four.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I think your fans got that. Because I was so interested in reading the comments. I was like, oh God, what are people going to say? And 90% of your good. He deserves this. Like all of your fans were really supportive. Were you surprised by that, or are you like, okay, no, I felt like that was going
to. Well, two things. One, I never pay attention to any of that. I mean, I really don't. Okay. I'm one of those guys that I've never been on social media. I've never tweeted. I don't know how to tweet. I don't know how to.
God bless your soul. I wish I had that problem.
I don't get on Instagram. nobody gives me codes for any of this stuff, so I have no way to get on any of this. So for me, now this time was a little bit different. I'll tell you why. I love listening to talk radio sports talk, especially during, you know, this time of year. You know, when it was Final Four time. And so I was thought it might be getting a little noisy when I was watching ESPN Sports Center. And I was leading on the Sports Center thing. Like, I thought, that's wow. That's new. Let's talk basketball, you know? So it was, I thought that was getting a little bit out of control. But I've always trusted our fans. I mean, we've been through a lot together. We've came, you know, 15, 17 years now. And I trusted they would understand. It's the reason I just came clean and told the truth. I mean, I you know, come on. I could have said COVID. I could have said throat, no, laryngitis. There's 100 things, you know, personal time. But I decided just to go, no, this is what I'm doing. And I trusted that they would get that. I knew the people in San Antonio were going to be disappointed. I hated that. I knew there was no real way around that, you know. But I also knew I could fix part of that. I could fix my part of it. I mean, it's our show. I can do that, and I can make that special for them. And I knew that was the opportunity, you know, to do that. I did feel bad that it was so late. A lot of people were upset that it was last minute. But what I wanted people to understand was I wasn't missing a show for anything but a Carolina Duke Final Four game. There was just I wasn't. If it was Carolina and somebody else, Villanova or something, I was gonna do the show. So they both had to win on a Sunday, and the show was the following, you know, Friday. Saturday. They both had to win in order for that to happen. So I didn't know that this was even a possibility until about, you know, 6 days, you know, before the show.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way to plan that out ahead of time. So, but man, we are fans as well, and we really appreciate you catching up with us. And obviously, we've been cranking Heart and Soul since it came out, and excited to see what's next.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Eric.
Skydiving. All that's exciting. Skydiving, yeah. Songwriting. So, yeah.
All right, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app, AUDACY.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.